When I move out one day, my mom will be very sad.
I feel my mom's love in my heart, like, it's right here. I'm feeling it right now.
Sometimes I love her, sometimes I don't. But when I'm angry, I don't.
My mom is everything to me. She just is this ray of energy and sunlight and positivity.
The thing that I wish I could have done more of is thanking her.
Didn't matter what shape I was in, I could always come home to mom. My mom was basically the glue that held me together.
When I left the Philippines, I knew that my son will be in good hands because I know my mom will take care of him.
My mom is behind the smart, not dad's mouth. If I would say like 1 to 10, it would be a 5.
Maybe my poor dad got the raw end of the deal, but I do remember my mother saying to him when there was an argument about something I'd done, she says, "You don't want to hurt her spirit." I remember that.
My mom was diagnosed with a really rare disease about 12 hours before she died. So we didn't get a lot of time to talk or to say goodbye, but she did get to say that she loved me, which were her last words. And I cherish that because I've been able to hang on to it.
I'm probably gonna say to my mom, "You're a wonderful person, and you're my mentor."
I tie a invisible string to my heart, and she ties the same one to her heart, and it's always attached together.
My mother, she struggled a lot with addiction. Sorry, I'm getting upset. Yeah, it was hard.
You know, you have partners, you have friends, you have kids, but there is nobody else who will ever care about you as much.
My son now always tells me, "I love you, Mama." But for 48 years, I realized I didn't say I love you to my mom.
I can think of 3 words. I forgive you.
You were good, Mom. You did really good.
Thank you, Mom. I love you, Mom.
Hey, Chelsea, if moms got paid, how much do you think they should get paid in a year for being a mom?
Maybe $100?
$100. I love that. So we want to say again, happy Mother's Day. And, you know, we know that being a mother and relationships with mothers, there's such a vast array of experiences and emotions. I have a unique vantage point right now because I can see a lot of you wiping away some tears. And if you've called the Father's House home for any period of time, you know that we really value personal stories being shared because they reflect the reality of our community. And this morning, we're so grateful to have Bella Vasquez sharing her story and Dr. Melody Martinez Davis. Oh, okay. Yeah, Melody. So we just want to thank you ladies so much for sharing and invite you to maybe allow the Holy Spirit to move in your own life and in your own story.
All right. So I am Bella Vasquez. I have been coming to the Father's House now about 19 years. And I am married to the crazy kids director here, Carlos, and we will be celebrating 9 years of marriage next month. Yeah. So my path to motherhood was one that was not expected. I had always wanted to be a mom, and I could not wait to get pregnant. But when that time came, we were devastated to learn that our first pregnancy had ended in a molar pregnancy. And for those who are like, what is that? A molar pregnancy is when instead of a baby growing, there are tiny tumor cells that grow and multiply at a rapid rate. And these pregnancies can become life-threatening as the tumors can become cancerous and spread throughout the body. crazy. So I needed surgery and a lot of monitoring, and everything was going good until it wasn't. And I had to meet with an oncologist and needed 6 months of chemotherapy. But after this dark season in our life, when our doctor gave us the clear to try for a rainbow baby, we were more than happy to put this behind us and move forward. And I wish this was where my story ended and we walked away with that dream, but now it brings me to the next chapter of my life, my infertility. We had spent many months of blood work, ultrasounds, appointments, trying to figure out why we could not get pregnant. And everything was coming back normal, and it was frustrating because we had no explanation as to why we were struggling. So we were given a few options to try. We tried this, we tried that, we tried to go on vacation and relax. And a year in, and we still had no baby. And so at this point, my depression was at an all-time high. I wasn't able to go to baby showers. Baby or pregnancy announcements triggered me. I was self-medicating to numb my pain. It was honestly really painful to exist in this world. But I still had hope. And the one thing I held on to in my darkest moments was my worship. And so there was a Sunday I was leading worship here, and we were singing a new song called Same God by Elevation. And this song does a really beautiful job of describing God's character and how he still hears his children now, and he will still answer prayers. And so on this specific Sunday, I had received news that another cycle had failed. And singing the lyrics to this song, there was a shift. And so when I got home from church that day, I had fallen onto my knees just crying, sobbing. I was exhausted. I was heartbroken. The fact that I had to call the doctor the next day and start everything over, like I was done. And in that moment, I felt God ask me, and he said, "Do you trust me?" And I was like, "Of course I trust you." He said, "No. Do you trust that I'm going to do this for you on my timeline? Not when you think it's going to happen, not how you expect it to happen." And in that moment, I realized that God needed me to surrender and to surrender my timeline and needing to be okay with it taking 2 months or 5 more years, which is a big ask. But I knew in that moment that God was going to get the glory from my story. And so I trusted the Lord and I said yes. And so my next step was a little radical, and it's not meant for everybody, but I stopped my medications, canceled all of my appointments, and I relinquished all my control and waited on the Lord. And we got pregnant that same month. I went on to have a healthy and perfect pregnancy, all by the grace of God. But in our pregnancy, we chose to keep the gender of our baby a surprise. Because when you wait months and months for a baby, you don't care how it happens or when it happens. You just want to walk away with a baby. And so on November 7th, it was such a special day keeping our baby a surprise, because my husband and I, it was just us in the room. And when our baby was born, it was just this blip of time where it was just the three of us, and no one had known who our baby was. And I'll never forget that moment. But on November 7th, my husband had announced that it was a boy. And he is the light of my life. I love him so much. But in that moment, I know that moms, we get emotional when we meet our babies for the first time. But in this moment, I was just so overwhelmed with God's goodness. Because not only did he fulfill his promise and get me through a safe pregnancy and delivery, but he really had just given me my heart's biggest desire. And my son, Arlo King, is my daily reminder of God's faithfulness. He has been such a blessing to my life. And for those who are in a waiting season or you've dealt with loss and frustration, I hope that my story can be a beacon of hope, because God's character never changes. He is who he says he is. He is good, and he will always be faithful. And so the song I had mentioned earlier ended up becoming really special in my life because, as you heard, when I first sang it, I wasn't pregnant. But the next time I got to sing it a month later, I was. And I just want to share a little bit of the bridge with you. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
God is good. He's so good and faithful to all his promises. Yes. So, like Carrie said, my name is Dr. Melody Martinez Davis. I have been coming to the Father's House with my family for 13 years. My hubby, Will, who's sitting back there, and I will celebrate 30 years of marriage this year. Yes, as well as our retirement after 33 years of teaching and school administration careers. We are both eager, really eager, to begin this next chapter in our journey. Although we are saying goodbye to the many children we have loved during our careers in education, we have been blessed with three children of our own, Alexander, Victoria, and Janine. I also have the most amazing son-in-law, Dante, who is married to Victoria. My children have impacted my life in the most remarkable ways. If I were to have a superpower, it would be titled The Hostess with the Mostest to Create Memories. My driveway is always full of cars, the same way my caldero is full of rice and beans. From early years of packing the van for family trips and bringing my teenage girls with all their friends to youth group here at the Father's House, to now creating a buffet of appetizers during football season with every person in my house yelling at their teams on the TVs, it is so important to create memories with our children, to remember and to hold on to in the good and not so good times. I hope when I'm no longer here, they say, "Remember when Mom?" When I became a mother, I experienced many unexpected changes. Having to put a snowsuit on a newborn for the first time as someone raised in Puerto Rico was a challenge. The guilt of going back to work every day was heavy and painful when all I wanted to do was home with my kids. Nothing was easy. Yet nothing could have prepared me for the complete crumbling of my world while pregnant with our third child, Janine, and hearing that my mom was being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. See, my mom was my first true best friend. We would cook, sing, and worship together. We were the dynamic duo. I never thought that I would have to take on the role of mother to my own mom. But Alzheimer's disease robbed us of what I could only imagine would have been many more years together. Motherhood as I knew it would be different for the next 10 years. Instead of bringing the kids to grandma's house to bake cookies, the kids brought happy meals to grandma's nursing home. While I imagine my mom would help me with the kids' bath time routines, my oldest daughter, Victoria, now had to help me bathe my mom, who had become terrified of the shower. I was losing my mom long before she passed. In her last days with us on this earth, when she needed 24-hour care and the disease aggressively progressed to the point where she could no longer speak or recognize most visitors, my mom never, never forgot who we were. She would smile anytime the kids performed scenes from VeggieTales or sang Spanish coritos. Whenever the kids and I sang old hymns or church worship songs, there would be a sense of peace despite the anxiety and agitation from the confusion she was experiencing. I was able to show my children the love of God by how we took care of my mom and how God is there with us in the middle of the storm. And on the days when I was consumed by grief after she passed, I remember how beautifully my mom had modeled motherhood for me. It gave me the strength to continue to show up for my children and hold the family together with my husband. All of what was instilled in me, I poured into my children, especially when it came to a relationship with God. I model what my mom taught me and what her mom taught her, how to pray, read the Bible, be involved in Sunday school, value discipleship and tithing, and believe in a God who can and will move mountains. Children need to go on their own spiritual journey to meet God, go through their own trials and hardships, and make an individual decision to follow Christ. But as mothers, we need to help build that foundation within them. I am the person I am today because of my mom and her many sacrifices. When I see her again in heaven, I want to give her the biggest hug and kiss. So instead of dreading the grief that Mother's Day can bring, I am choosing to honor her legacy today. Motherhood has empowered me to be patient, to forgive freely, and to see God's beauty in myself. I remind my family that we all have limited days on this earth and how important it is that we continue to pack the car and go on trips. Once upon a time, the kids hated the long car rides, but I always knew I was creating memories all along. Remember, that's my superpower.
Can we thank Bella and Melody for sharing their stories? You know, I don't know if while you were listening to their stories, like me, maybe there was, you know, you're resonating with parts of your own story. And my husband, Josh, knows that sometimes when I'm feeling kind of down, I find myself in our pantry. We have a chocolate chip jar. And I just find myself scooping out little bits of chocolate chips. And we actually have a little bit of chocolate today for all of the mamas here in the house. On the right-hand side of every row, there should be a bag. If those of you on the right-hand side can pick it, yep, and then pass it down the row, all of the mamas and the ladies here, we've got a piece of chocolate for you, and you can just keep passing that down to remind you that there is a little something sweet in every moment. Sometimes you just got to look for it.
There'll be days like this, my mama said. Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this, my mama said. I went walking the other day and everything was going fine. Met a little boy named Billy Joe and almost lost my mind. Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this, my mama said. There'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said. My eyes are wide open, and all that I can see is these chapel bells keep tolling for everyone but me, but I don't worry, cause mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said. Mama said, There'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said.
It's a good idea, but I'm going to save mine for later. Happy Mother's Day and all those who love the mamas and the world. It's so good to see you. It's such a beautiful day. And I just want to welcome some of my most incredible friends, pastors, beautiful influencers. And I know you know them, but Carrie Tanzola, Esther Jansen, Dee Rogers, also known as the other mother to my children. Thank you for being here today. And our theme is what women hold. And that I know for every woman in this place just rings true, because women hold a lot of things. We hold hearts. We hold space. Our bodies hold life. We hold prayer. There's just so much we hold, and there's a Jewish proverb that is very easily to find on Pinterest that says, a mom might hold her children's hands for a few years, but she'll hold their hearts forever and ever and ever. And hold is such a powerful word because it's got layers of meaning, not just physical, but like metaphorical, like we hold. It implies stability and security and protection, and holding also requires a special grace. Have you ever held a newborn baby and hours later it feels like that baby weighs about 50 pounds? Or even a book, hold a book for a while. I come from Africa, and I know that as a little girl, one of the favorite things for me was watching the African mamas often carry 40 pounds of water in an urn on top of their heads for miles. And I often wondered, what was it that held, instead of just necessity, what is it that, how do we hold things gracefully? And so let's start this panel by asking you, in this season of your life, what is it that, or who is it that you're holding?
Well, right now I hold for many hours a day my daughter, Charlotte. She just turned one. And it's such a fun time because everything's new. Everything's like a discovery and experience.
Oh, love that.
I am holding three strong-willed, spirited children. Wesley, age 9, Chloe, 7, Jordan, 3. I'm cherishing the last of those squishy toddler snuggles, embarking on like the coach phase with my older two, and I'm embracing the deep breaths that come after a decade of babies and diapers and young kids.
Sweet. Brings back memories. I am holding three young adults, so they are a lot heavier. Erica is 31. Calvary is 26, and Larissa is 22. And the older they get, the harder it is to say their ages. Marlise, you probably can relate to that, right?
So true. I hold, similarly to Dee, I hold beautiful adult children, my son and my daughter, my Chloe child, 28. Do we have to say their ages at this point? And my son, who is 26, and I'd love to say that I always hold them, but at times they literally hold me. What I want to say, though, is that I think mothers can be really hard on themselves. I think we are our own worst critics. And so I want to start this panel from the beginning by asking you to name one thing that you are really proud of in your mothering right now, Dee?
They call me the hype mom. And it's really a compliment, and I am proud of that. When they were younger, we would share moments, like when they brought a piece of artwork from home, from school, rather. They would bring it home, and it's what they created. It's what they accomplished, and we would celebrate that together. So I'm proud that I still share a mommy moment similar to that with them living out of the house. I am on speed dial, so they call me when they create or accomplish something, and we share that together, and I can appreciate that.
You, Carrie?
Something I'm celebrating about myself in this season is being a protector of finding sacredness in like mundane moments. I try to not just rush on to the next thing, but really love whatever's happening in front of me.
And if you're a mother in this moment, you can just tune out that sound, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I am proud of myself for intentionally repairing the relationship with my kids, especially my oldest. It's no secret around here that I have dealt with postpartum depression and anxiety. The first time not knowing what it was, the second time medication saved my life, which I realize is not for everyone, but it really helped me. Our kids are watching us grow up as parents. And so my son, who has been the most impacted by my anxiety and my anger, is now participating and giving me feedback as I relearn healthier patterns when it comes to knowing how to respond versus react, how to choose connection over control, and how to laugh and have fun because no one is perfect and we all make mistakes.
Esther, I love, yes, can we just give her? And if you know Esther's son, Wes, we often say he's running the church behind the scenes. And I always just love the wisdom that flows from Esther. And if you are a mama in that season, find her in the lobby. I think what I'm really proud of in this season of my motherhood is that I'm a good listener. I think I truly am a student of my children, and that I desire and strive mostly to be truly present to them. I know as well as we talk about this, there's always a sense of anxiety with motherhood. Like, are we doing this right? It can be very rewarding and fulfilling, but it can also be extremely stressful and anxiety producing. I remember back in South Africa when I was pregnant with Chloe and in the OBGYN's office as a new mama, I looked up on the wall and she had this poster. And you probably know these words that said, give your kids roots and give them wings. Like roots, something always to come back to, but give them wings to fly. And as I've become older, I realize between those two things, there's a lot of anxiety-producing moments. And some anxiety isn't bad, but Dee, let me ask you, when anxiety becomes unhealthy to us and those we love, what do we do?
I think just the term good mother can bring anxiety and fear, or it can bring self-righteousness.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the middle, there's a balance that there is no perfect mother. There's no perfect mother. There's only a perfect God. And there's a million ways to be a great mother.
So good.
And then I would also stay away from social media, including I stay away from my own social media because it's just a highlight reel.
I think social media is an important piece of the puzzle because when I got pregnant, like when the algorithms at B found out, it was like they were sending me so many things about, well, this is the right way to be a parent. This is the right way to feed your child. Don't even get me started on sleep. The amount of opinions about how to have your child sleep became really overwhelming. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on us as moms. And then there's real life. You know, for us, the first year of Charlie's life, we actually experienced a lot of losses. Yeah. And I had to let go of a lot of expectations that I had in my head. And I found myself at times becoming afraid of how is Charlie going to perceive this type of grief? And I remember I made a decision at one point, and I just decided I'm not going to shield her from seeing grief, because grief is love expressed.
Wow.
And I had to remember that children are also resilient, and that the same Holy Spirit that comforts me, yeah, that guides me, is the same Holy Spirit that knit her together in my womb and counsels her and comforts her, which helped me let go.
I love that perspective. And I think whenever I become truly overwhelmed and I think, oh, I've got to muster up this in my own strength, I am reminded that there are characteristics and attributes of God Himself that can only be found in motherhood. Mm-hmm. Like, He is actually planted that inside of us. And I wanted to run through these scriptures really fast, but if you want to jot them down and read them later. But I want you to find yourself in one or all four of these statements. Isaiah 49 verse 15 talks about God as a nursing mother. Is it possible for a mother, however disappointed, however hurt, to forget her nursing child? Can she feel nothing for the baby she carried and birthed? Even if she could, God will never forget you. I love this one. This is, oh my goodness. Hosea talks about God as a mama bear. Any mama bears in the room today? Right? Oh yeah. I will rip you to pieces. This is in the Bible. I will rip you to pieces like a bear whose cubs have been taken away. And like a lion, I will devour you. Yeah? Yeah. Deuteronomy talks about God as an eagle. That just provides me with such comfort. Like, imagine for a moment an eagle high above with a wingspan that is ridiculous. Deuteronomy 32 says, like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spreads his wings to take them up and carries them safely on his pinion. And then Luke 3:24, I was thinking of Moxie Mama. That's not your name, I know, but that's who I call you. One of the women here in the church who just loves livestock, and I'm always watching her Insta stories with her chickens and her hens. But I love this scripture because Jesus is talking to Jerusalem. He's talking to the people of God that he loves, and he says this: Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Isn't that imagery just so beautiful? I know at times, you know, both these aspects show up in my mothering. I want to be a hen that protects and shields, or I want to be a mama bear that protects and fights, right? But at the end of the day, I will never hold the vantage point that God has over my children, because ultimately they are His. Ultimately they are His. And so the question to you, Carrie, and I'll ask with you, I'll start with you. When we hold, not control, but how do we hold and let go again and again and again? Because I feel we do that over and over. We surrender in motherhood.
I think this is one of the hardest parts, just being honest. I got pregnant, or I had Charlie right before I was 35. So I'm an older mom. And I have things the way I do them. And I remember feeling a lot of anxiety and fear about how am I going to show up in all these spaces in the same way? How am I going to be a good wife? How am I going to be able to serve in the same way in the church? How am I going to be a good friend, a good, you know, et cetera? How am I going to stay in school? And the reality is that I coped by creating this 3-page birth plan. I don't know if anybody ever wrote a birth plan. My first lesson, that birth plan never left my bag. Like, it never saw the light of day. So that was my first lesson in motherhood, is to just release control. And what I am learning every single day is that I will never be the same person that I was. That's impossible. But I can expand in different ways.
So good. So good.
I admire that, Carrie. I was in unhealthy control, and I didn't even have it written down. So I was winging it. So you can imagine. And what I learned after coming out of that season was control is based in fear, and it even daps in manipulation a lot. Yeah. And it will always make things messy. It can't be in order. Only God is in order when we allow him in. And it just reminds me, how out of control I was listening to that and thinking I was in control. But God is the only one that is in control. Yeah. And I didn't realize it until my children were older. And I realized just how out of control I was, literally. So I thank God for redos. And I realized that less is more. They're drawn to me when I allow them to come to me opposed controlling.
Wow, that's so good. Yeah. That's good. So good.
It's good. Well, I struggle with control as well. And being in the thick of it, I think as humans in general, we tend towards the immediate solutions rather than evaluate what's good in the long term. So having a long-term goal in mind challenges my control in the best way. So here's where I get very practical. If our goals as mamas are to raise independent, competent, resilient adults, then some of the best lessons that we can teach our kids are with responsibility and time management. Dr. Henry Cloud calls this the transfer of responsibility. So an example, my son cleaning his room has probably created the most tension in our house for years. He's like a nutty professor. He's got 18 projects going at a time. Cannot clean it up, but he is so creative, and he's going to get these projects done. So we establish a goal. So we say, okay, then by noon, your room needs to be clean. And so then that gives him the opportunity to learn in a safe environment. If he chooses to play and then is stressed out that last half an hour of cleaning his room, that's on him. And it also gives me the opportunity to take a step back and not control and say, cleaning your room, cleaning your room, cleaning your room, because that also does not help the situation. So it's helpful for me to keep the long-term goal in mind.
That is really, really powerful. And I think also something that is so transferable through seasons, I got a little distracted towards the end of your story because true fact, I sat in the first service with a bright pink ice pack around my neck, and I just realized I have another one. Listen, talk about seasons. For those who have menopause, these are wonderful. You can buy them on Amazon. Made a note. I've got three of them, and I literally forgot to take it off again. I might as well just keep it on now because you've all seen it. So let's talk about change. Let's talk about seasons. Yes, let's talk about it. We had a book in our house, and I actually think Chloe, my daughter, had bought it for one of her teachers, but it never made it out of our house. I think I threw it away because it terrified me. The title of the book was 940 Saturdays. And really what it is you have 940 Saturdays with your children until they're 18. And 260 of those happen before they're 5 years old. Would you agree to throw away that book if you have it? But I think what I'm trying to say is, yes, seasons come and seasons go, and we can't hold too tight. But how do we live, Dee? How do we live mindful and aware of each season, each season, and not afraid of change?
We get an ice pack.
Yes. Ice packs for everybody.
Yes. But time does go by really fast. The days seem to go by faster. I realize that even more now that my children are out of the house. And I have lots of random thoughts during the day. Like when I'm cleaning out the refrigerator. Did I tell them to clean out the refrigerator, or was I just cleaning it out and not showing them to how to clean out the refrigerator? Do they know not to eat leftovers after X number of days? I don't know. I was the one throwing everything away. Do they know that? So the controlling me will call, do you know you have leftovers? You know. But all jokes aside, Marlise and I had a special moment in the lobby, and you all know there's so many special moments that go down in that lobby. Chloe was going to Australia to study. Erica was going to Paris to study. And of course, this is after we raised them, telling them, you can do it. You can do whatever you want. Sky's the limit. Go for it. God is with you. And then we're in the lobby. Chloe's going to Australia? And she's saying, Erica's going to Paris? Does she know French? No. So we realized in that moment that we pray for our kids from A to Z in every area. We may not always pray for ourselves from A to Z in certain areas. And we realized there was an area that we left uncovered as mommy hearts that we hadn't.
And before I ask Esther, Dee, here we are again. I mean, your Calvary has just been in Portugal and all over Europe. And in a month's time, my Caleb is off to Paris for a year.
Yes.
And do you think we've learned to pray more for each other?
Yes, okay. We have. And each other. And our sons grew up together. So yes. It's just no surprise. They're just soaring in their dreams. Proud of both of them.
I think that's why community is so important. Because I'm a relatively new mom. And then I get to learn from you and, all the mamas in the house. Yeah. And I also think it's really important to take note of the transitions, take time appreciating the process, and grieve and celebrate, even acknowledge if I am more than done with one stage. It helps me to write them down so that I remember everything that God's done, even if it's like no more infant car seats. Yeah. Or an expectation of what I thought motherhood would look like or who would be involved.
I think when I consider seasons and change, I think about the fact that I've been the recipient of a lot of incredible mothering. Yeah. Of course, my own mom, who is strong and, has a huge heart. But then so many, honestly, women in this room, pastors, friends, teachers, mentors, women who have had me at their kitchen tables, women who have listened to me, encouraged me, fed me, reminded me of who I am in hard times. And I think no matter what shape of mothering there is, what can keep us grounded in any season is remembering that it's God who does the heavy lifting, so good. Not us. Yes. Even though we try, wow. I try. And I think that the maternal voice of God is always reminding others that they are deeply loved and who they are when they forget.
Oh, love that.
A question I have found myself asking my kids when everything is calm and not emotionally charged is, does mom love you more in this moment or in that moment? A moment where maybe you presented me with a lovely card or craft, or the one where you're screaming at me from another room or have lost all sense of being. But the answer is that mom loves you the same in both those moments.
Yeah.
There may be times that I need to, that I don't like the behavior, or that I need to establish boundaries or bring connection, but that does not mean a loss of love.
And I think this so reflects the character of God, that he does not diminish his love towards us. And in Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to the end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And I think as we walk out the complexities of life, I want you to remember that God's love does not diminish. He does not choose this moment or that moment to love you, but that his love is constant and steadfast.
Yeah, beautiful.
I was just going to say, I love that and admire that, Esther. And with my children being out of the house, it's very comforting knowing that they do know God and that he is with them always. Yeah. And like me, they're not perfect. And they know how to get it right. They know that they serve a merciful and a graceful God. Yeah. And that's just, that's everything.
Yeah.
That's
everything. That is everything. Yes, you can clap. That was a half-hearted clap. You clap, you commit. Yes. I think one thing we realize is that, yes, a woman might give birth. It's called childbirth. But actually, we are constantly birthing things into the world, right? And if we look at Genesis 3, I'm always intrigued by the fact that Eve is called mother of all living things. And she is called that way before she has children. And so today, I just want to call this and speak this over every woman in this place, because there is something about how you are made that can change the very atmosphere. Something about what you hold and how you hold it. Like something about what you birth from your soul every time you walk through a space. It's almost as if, even looking in this room, it's almost as if Jesus says, "Hey, I've got you. I'll send you hundreds of mothers. I'll send you hundreds of mothers." And this room is a testimony to biological and spiritual mothers. And right here in the front is my amazing friend, Ernestine Hunt. I call her my first friend. Can you raise your hand, Ernie, so people can just see you? We love doing that to Ernie. I want to tell you something about Ernie, though, because she is too young to be my mother. But when I lost my mother in 2002, and I was new to this country, and I had two little kids, it was Ernie who held me. It was Ernie who held my kids and held my heart and held me in prayer and just held space, you know? I remember my house being messy, and she was just there. She just held me. And so today I just want to say to you, life can be so messy and relationships can be so broken. And maybe you're a single mom and you long to be a mom. Maybe, there's a loss and a heartache, but my prayer is that today, somewhere in this service, you will be reminded not of what you lost or what is broken, but that you will be reminded of what you hold and that God holds you. And as we end almost, don't move though, this is a very special moment in this service. I wanted to finish today by just kind of asking this last question to the panel. You ready? Haven't they been incredible? DL, I'll start with you. What is one thing that is giving you life in this season?
I never thought I'd say this. What's giving me life is going underwater. I am taking swim classes, and I have a big fear of water. So I'm using my faith, and it feels good.
It's amazing. It's never too late to learn a new skill. I'm in ASL class right now. But another thing that's giving me life is a top coat of nail polish that dries in a matte finish.
It's a big deal.
It's amazing.
It's a big deal. Are you wearing that today?
I
am.
Yes.
I have to admit, when we discussed this question previously, I was really sad at my response, but it's honest, so I'm just going to share it. One thing that is giving me life is filling and running the dishwasher every single night. Every night, no matter how many dishes are in there, the day is done, and the next morning starts, and there's no messy dishes, and it's glorious.
I love that. I love that. And before I tell you what's giving me life, can I ask you just to quieten your soul and let me just pray over this room for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for laughter, the voices of children and loved ones and a church family where we can belong. We thank you that as that song says, that your favor rests on us for 1,000 generations. We thank you that you are the one who calls us to hold, and with that, you give us the grace to hold. So I thank you over every family in this room today, and every individual, those online, those in Albion campus, those women who are facing extremely hard circumstances right now. I just pray that this day will mark peace. There'll be peace. Just peace and such deep joy. Oh, we thank you for the way that you love us, Lord. And we honor you and thank you for the gift of mothers all over the world and every country and every region. I thank you that your presence comes extra close today. And everybody says, amen. So you want to know what's giving me life right now? There's a lot of things that gives me life, flowers and art. But there's this little book I found that is giving me particularly lots of life right now, because it's, go figure, it's a book called Women Holding Things, which was also what this day was all about. Beautiful art, if you want to get it. But I wanted my beautiful friend Michelle, can you come out? Can we say and welcome Michelle? I wanted Michelle, who is the holder of so many beautiful things, and I want to thank you for always holding my heart. I always find sticky notes from Michelle all over the church and on my mirror. If you've ever wondered if you see a sticky note somewhere, it's probably her. Just trying to encourage the moment. If you can find that page, Michelle. And then I want you to really lean into this moment and hear these words along with all of us. And don't run afterwards, because this is a special moment. Okay.
What do women hold? The home and the family, the children and the food, the friendships, the work of the world, and the work of being human, the memories, the troubles, sorrows, triumphs, and the love. Men do as well, but not quite in the same way. Sometimes, when I am feeling particularly happy or content, I think I can provide sustenance for legions of human beings. I can hold the entire world in my arms. Other times, I can barely cross the room, and I drop my arms, frozen. Then, I am brought back to my grandmother, my mother, aunts, sisters, daughters, granddaughters, the countless women who hold things, the women who are my friends, the women in this room. We have spoken to each other for thousands of hours about all that can be held and not held, and how sometimes the water runs through our fingers, and how sometimes the cakes are baked, the beds are made, the books are written, the prayers are held, the moments are cherished. It is good to hold all. Holding is a necessary thing. It's a very nice thing to do. You are standing there, and you hold a heart, a story, a space, or a bright balloon. This is a job in and of itself. The simple act of doing this one thing. It is hard work to hold everything, and it never ends. Along with holding on, you could also let go of some things, but that's another conversation. Because perhaps a little human you are walking with will ask you to hold something for a minute while they tie their shoelaces. Of course, is the answer, as long as you like. Women hold.
I love you. Isn't that beautiful? Don't go. Firstly, before the next moment, can we just thank our panel? Thank you, ladies, for your wisdom, for everything you created today. I know you blessed so many hearts. And then we're going to be sung out in a moment with a fun song. But we thought, see this fancy dandy little tote bag that Michelle is wearing? And it has the words from the book. And just mother brag moment, both my kids designed this. And so we have one of these for every woman. And if the ushers can pass the buckets, please grab one for yourself so that we have enough. And enjoy the rest of your day, Mama said.
Love you, Mom.